Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 28th of May, Pope Francis described climate change as an issue of great importance for humanity and the whole of creation. Two people are killed after a man attacks a group of schoolchildren in Japan. And the Pope during Mass reflects on how sadness is not a Christian attitude. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. Pope Francis has described climate change as an issue of great importance for humanity and the whole of creation. His words came during a discussion on the Sustainable Development Goals organised by the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. The discussion brought together finance ministers from various countries to reflect on the theme climate change and new evidence from science, engineering and policy. Christopher Wells has more.
In his address, Pope Francis lamented that we live at a time when profits and losses seem to be more highly valued than lives and death, and when a company's net worth is given precedence over the infinite worth of our human family. On the contrary, he said, today's global interdependence obliges us to think in terms of one world with a common plan. And he called on finance ministers to work to achieve the goals agreed on by governments in the UN's Sustainable Development Goals and the Paris Climate Agreement, COP21. The Holy Father sounded a dire warning about the current state of affairs. The signs today are not good, he said, pointing to declining investment in clean energy and a rise in the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Citing leading climatologists and experts, Pope Francis said, their message was clear and insistent. We need to act decisively to put an end to all emissions of greenhouse gases by mid-century at the very latest, and to do even more than that. Specifically, Pope Francis called on ministers to commit to several specific goals. To value what is important, not what is superfluous. To correct our national accounts and our business accounts, so as to stop engaging in activities that are destroying our planet. To put an end to global dependency on fossil fuels. To open a new chapter of clean and safe energy that utilizes, for example, renewable resources such as wind, sun, and water. Above all, to act prudently and responsibly in our economies to actually meet human needs, promote human dignity, help the poor, and be set free of the idolatry of money that creates so much suffering. Before all else, the Pope said, we must recognize the ledger of life itself, of human dignity and survival. He said it is his prayerful hope that as stewards of the world's finances, you will agree upon a common plan that accords with climate science, the latest in clean energy engineering, and above all, the ethics of human dignity. Pope Francis told the finance ministers, time is of the essence. We await your decisive action for the sake of all humanity. I'm Christopher Wells.
The president of the UN General Assembly, Maria Fernanda Espinosa, attended the discussion. She spoke to Vatican News.
Well, I think that Pope Francis has shown not only his true care and commitment to fight climate change, but with Laudato Si, he has contributed to a new way of thinking, calling for a relationship between society and economy and nature, which is based on solidarity and harmony. And I think that that was a masterpiece of the 21st century, very inspirational. Regarding the role of finance ministers and climate change, also his message was extremely important, because he recalled us that we need to value what is important and not the superfluous. Talking about the hyper-consumption of current societies. And basically his call was to correct our economy, to improve it, to not engage in activities that are destroying our environment and destroying the climate. And he made a call against fossil fuels, because we know that fossil fuels are the main reason why we are increasing our emissions, how we say, and accelerating climate change. So I think that the call of His Holiness the Pope for safer energies, low carbon economies, was very timely, very well received. And I think that it's really going to help and prepare governments to take the right decisions in terms of really getting rid of fossil fuels, looking at the fiscal and tax measures, you know, just to put more support to renewable energies, solar, wind, hydro, electricity, etc., etc. So his call was very, very strong. Really call for changes in society, but also strong decision-making in terms of investment priorities, fiscal policies. It was really inspiring, and it's going to really pave the way for the upcoming climate summit in September in New York.
A knife-wielding man attacked a group of schoolgirls at a bus stop in Japan, killing one girl and an adult. Sister Carmelan reports.
The girls were students at a private Catholic school in Kawasaki City, south of Tokyo, and were boarding their school bus when the suspect attacked. Police said an 11-year-old girl and a man, who was believed to be her father, were killed. 16 other girls between the ages of 6 and 12 and a woman were wounded by the man, who appeared to be in his 50s and died later of a self-inflicted wound. This eyewitness described the scene.
I saw children screaming and crying. Other kids and people at the scene looked too shocked to do anything. I didn't know what I could do for them.
Prime Minister Shinzo Abe expressed his condolences to the families of the victims.
It was a harrowing incident, and I feel anger seeing small children were amongst the victims. I pray for those killed in the incident and wish to express my heartfelt condolences to their families.
Violent crime is relatively rare in Japan, but occasional high-profile incidents have shocked the nation. In 2016, a man armed with a knife broke into a facility for the disabled in a small town near Tokyo and killed 19 patients in their sleep. Two children were killed and a dozen injured in western Japan earlier this month after a car involved in an accident with another vehicle skidded into a nursery school group out for a walk with their teachers. I'm Sister Carmelan.
Britain's Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt has said it would be political suicide for Britain to pursue a no-deal Brexit. Hunt is a candidate looking to succeed Prime Minister Theresa May. He told the BBC the main issue that needed addressing in the withdrawal agreement was the Irish backstop.
So I believe that there is a common position that all those groups could come around.
What is
around,
that position?
I'm about to explain, if you'll let me. Around changes to the backstop that at the same time give proper guarantees to the legitimate concerns of the government of Ireland about the maintenance of a soft border on the island, on the island of Ireland, such that the Belfast Good Friday Agreement is preserved. And I think it's entirely
possible.
Mrs. May
tried that.
Of course she tried it, but what I'm saying is if you put everyone in a negotiating team, then you can give the other side confidence that anything you offer can be delivered, and that's a structure we haven't.
Violence in northwest Nigeria has forced around 20,000 refugees to seek safety in neighbouring Niger since April. That's according to the United Nations Refugee Agency. Military, police and state security forces have been deployed to northwest Nigeria in recent months to tackle criminal gangs behind a spate of killings and kidnappings. Security forces are already stretched tackling the decade-long insurgency by Islamist group Boko Haram in the northeast. Around 80 flights to and from Amsterdam Schiphol Airport were cancelled on Tuesday as part of a nationwide public transport strike. Almost all train, bus and tram drivers in the Netherlands staged a 24-hour strike protesting over proposed reforms of the country's pension system. Airline KLM had advised passengers to postpone their travel plans and offered them the opportunity to reschedule flights to another date free of charge. The government of Papua New Guinea appeared to be in danger on Tuesday after opponents of Prime Minister Peter O'Neill convincingly won a vote in Parliament that prepares the way for his removal. O'Neill remains Prime Minister and has not formally stepped down, despite promising to resign on Sunday. His spokesman said he would not quit until the Supreme Court decides on the legality of the new confidence procedure in a challenge filed by O'Neill that is set to be heard on Friday. Afghan officials say two Taliban attacks targeted Afghan security checkpoints in the country's west and east. 23 members of the security forces were killed. The United Nations Mission in Kosovo, or UNMIK, has condemned the detention of two of its staff during an armed police operation in Kosovo's Serb-populated north. The mission said in a statement on Tuesday the two UN staff members were injured in the operation, which triggered Serb anger and sent regional tensions soaring. Russia's foreign ministry has said that one of the UN employees is Russian. UNMIK Ambassador Zahir Tanin called for their immediate release, adding any harm to United Nations staff would be met with the highest degree of diplomatic and international legal responses. Returning to church news, and Pope Francis today, Tuesday, reflected on how sadness is not a Christian attitude. As Linda Bordoni reports, he was speaking during morning mass when he commented on how it is possible to overcome the difficulties of life with the support and closeness of the Holy Spirit.
Speaking to the faithful gathered for Mass at the Casa Santa Marta, Pope Francis reflected on the Holy Spirit, the protagonist, he said, of the Gospel passage of the day. He remarked on Jesus' farewell speech to the disciples before going to heaven, in which the Pope said he gives us a true catechesis on the Holy Spirit. The disciples, he said, are sad to hear that their master will soon leave them. But Jesus reproaches them, pointing out that, although grief has filled their hearts, it is better for them that he go. But how can one not be sad, he remarked, saying that to counter sadness, we pray to the Lord to keep the renewed youth of the Spirit within us.
Conservi questa giovinezza dello spirito.
It is the Holy Spirit, he explained, who gives us the capacity to carry our crosses, who renews our faith and accompanies us in life, sustaining us.
Perché io non cada, perché io vado avanti.
He is near me so that I don't fall, so I keep my spirit youthful. But to be able to have this youthful attitude, the Pope added, we need a daily dialogue with the Holy Spirit, who is always with us. It's the great gift that Jesus left us, this support which allows us to go forward. Pope Francis concluded his homily with words of encouragement and hope, saying that even if we are sinners, the Spirit helps us to repent and look ahead. Sin, on the other hand, he said, makes the soul grow old. Let us ask the Lord not to lose this renewed youthfulness, not to be Christians who have retired and have lost their joy, he said.
Di non essere cristiani in pensione, che hanno perso la gioia.
A Christian never retires.
Cristiano mai va in pensione.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks goes to our studio team in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.